Today's daf is daf lamed alef, but we are going to pick it up from down halfway down lamed amud beis, the two dafs Tanur Rabbanan. So Gemara will go through this quickly. Gemara says the brayse Tanur Rabbanan Yisrael shamar lelevi. Yisrael says to Levi, Meiser yesh lachav yadi. You have meiser of yours that's in my possession. I'd like to give it to you. Ein choshen lechumas meiser shabo. We're not concerned that this chumas meiser. Is the Meiser Rishon that goes to Levi, he has to take an additional Meiser from those 10, let's say they're 100. You take a 10th and give it to the Levi, that's Meiser Rishon. You have 10 grapes you give to Levi. Levi now takes a Meiser from the Meiser, which is called Trumas Meiser, and takes 1/10 of the 10, which is one grape, and that goes to the Kohen. So we're not choshesh that there's Trumas Meiser in that Meiser that's in Yisrael's possession right now, and the Gemara is going to explain what that means. However, if he says, he says, no, not that it's just stam meiser. He gives a measurement. This is the measurement of a core of meiser of yours that's in my possession, says the Yisrael to the Levi. Then we're choshen l'chumas meiser shabo. Then we are concerned there might be chumas meiser that goes to the Kohen in among the meiser that he has. So my kamar, what exactly is the interpretation of this brisa? So Amar Abai says, Hachi kamar Yisrael sh'amar l'Levi. Yisrael says to Levi, meiser yeshecha b'yadi. Mehelech damav. You have meiser in my possession, and here's the money, here's the value of that meiser, take it, it's all yours. Ein choshishim shema aso chumas meiser al makom acher. I'm not concerned that the Levi who gets the meiser, now even though he doesn't actually get the fruits, he just takes the money instead, we don't assume now that since he has rights to the meiser in the Yisrael's possession, maybe he said, you know what, I also have meiser in my house, and I need to take chumas meiser, let me take chumas meiser and put it on that peiros that's in the Yisrael's hand. And now what happens is Yisrael gives the money to the Levi and he ends up having stuck with Shumas Meiser. We're not concerned with that happening when it comes to just saying, I stam have Meiser. However, if he says to him, Kor Meiser Yeshachav Yadi, he gives an amount, I have an amount of a kor in my possession, and Heilach Damav, here's the value that Yisrael gives to the Levi, then we are Choshishin, Shem Aso Shumas Meiser Al Makom Acher. Since the Levi knows how much is in the Yisrael's possession, when he says a kor, maybe Taka did say, the Trumas Meiser that I need to take from the Meiser that's in my possession in my house, I'm going to throw on the Meiser, on the fruit that's in the Yisrael's possession. That is a concern. So this is Machlokes Rashi tells us exactly what the scenario is. Let's assume like Rashi for a moment, it does require a Hesber, which Tosfos challenges, that even after the Levi receives the money from the Yisrael, the Levi still has the right to say that that Trumas Meiser, the Meiser in the Yisrael's possession can be Trumas Meiser. Wasn't there an acquisition? Once the Yisrael gives the money to the Levi, Levi has no rights anymore and the Meiser that remains in the possession of the Yisrael. So Rashi talks about it has to do with Kinyan Maos and Kinyan Meshicha. Since the Levi never drew the Peros, he never actually acquired the Peros, he can always retract if he wants and return the money. So that still gives him the bilis to theory, say that fruit that is in the possession of Yisrael is taka going to be Trumas Meiser. That's the concern. So therefore, if he says the amount of Meiser that I have in my possession, there's a chashash, and the Yisrael shouldn't eat the Meiser that's in his possession. So Gemara asks, wait a second. Atu berishi askinan? Are we dealing with Shem, the Levi, the Rasha, the Shakli Dumei? He takes the money from Yisrael and then turns around and mashulei Trumas Meiser. Then he messes the guy over and says, you know what? Whatever you have in your possession is actually going to be Trumas Meiser now. Now the Yisrael loses out tremendously. Ella, the case, the interpretation must be, Ella Amar Rav Misharshav Redi Rav Idi B'Halchi Kamar Yisrael Shamar Leben Levi. He says to the son of a Levi, who's also a Levi, of course, but he dealt with the father, though. So he says to the son of the Levi, who he dealt with, Meiser Lavicha B'Yadi, your father's Meiser is in my possession. Heilach Damav, here's the money for it. I'm going to give it to you as the son. Ein Choshen Shemaso Aviv Shumas Meiser Al Makom Acher. We're not concerned that the father may have done it. So now in this case, you're not taking the money and then messing the guy over. It's possible in the past, there was a Makiri Kuna probably, Makiri Levi, that they had a relationship with each other. So Levi knew it was coming to him. So maybe he just said, no, that Meiser over there is going to be Trumas Meiser, let's say. So the son's not doing this. So the son's not the Rasha. So we're not concerned that's going to happen if he simply says, I have Meiser. But if he says, Ein choshen shema aso aviv Trumas Meiser al makom acher. But if the Yisrael says, Kor Meiser Lavichi, gives you the measurement, B'yadi, V'heilach Damav, and here's the money that he gives to the son of the Levi, then we are Choshishin Shema Aso Aviv, Shumas Meiser Makmach. Since the value, the mouth, rather, the measurement is known, then there's a possibility that the father did make that money, that Meiser, Shumas Meiser. So Gemara says, wait a second. V'chi nechshedu chaverim l'trom shalom in amukaf. L'chor, we're talking about a chaver. Versus an am ha'aretz. A chaver is a person who's a learned individual who knows halachas and meiser. And one of the halachas of Maaser is that you're not supposed to, you're not allowed to take Chuma or Maaser Shelo Menamukaf. Menamukaf means has to be together in the same basket. But people don't take, if I have Maaser in that house, I'm not going to separate the Chumas Maaser on fruit that's not in the same Mukaf, that's in the same area, in the same basket. So we're not choshed that a chaver, that the father who's a chaver, took Chumas Maaser on something in the Yisrael's possession, which was not Menamukaf. So that can't be the situation where he's giving the Ben Levi. So Ella, what's the interpretation of the statement? So Ella, Amar Vashi Hachi Kamar. Ben Yisrael, the son of Yisrael, Shamar Levi, he says to Levi, Kach Amar Li Abba, my father said to me, that Maiser Lecha B'yadi, that I have, that I inherited from my father, Maiser, that's yours. Oh, where he said, Maiser Lavicha B'yadi, or the son says that your father, he says, they're talking about both sons now, are communicating with each other. The son of Yisrael says to the son of the Levi, I have Maiser in my possession, that was of your father's. So either those cases, what's the halacha? He says, Choshishin, then you are Choshishin, the choice Maiser, Shibo, Kevin Delokites, L'Havim Misakin Lein, Bahabayas. Then there's a concern that maybe there is Shumas Maaser, since there's not a set amount that the son of the Yisrael doesn't know how much was there. So his father, the Yisrael, could not have taken Shumas Maaser. The value wasn't known. So the Shumas Maaser is still within that Maaser. See, now what happens is, when I, as the son of the Yisrael, give to the son of the Levi, his Maaser, he still has to take Shumas Maaser and give that to the Kohen. Since, again, I didn't know how much was there. I just said, Stam Maaser. So, L'chor, my father didn't know either how much was there. He never did the actual measurements. So, he never took Chumas Maaser. So, the Levi who receives a Maaser has to take Chumas Maaser. But, if it's, I'm the Ben Levi, I say to the Ben Yisrael. Rather, I'm the Ben Yisrael, I say to the Ben Levi. I say to him, Kor Maaser L'cha B'yadi, I have a certain amount, and I know the amount, and my father knew the amount. That's what he told me. Oh, Kor Maaser L'avicha B'yadi, or I have a Kor of Maaser that was your father's, that's in my possession. Then we're not Ein Choshishin, the Chumas Maaser, Shibo, Kevin de Kaitz, Tikuni Tkana Baal Bayis. Since the amount was known to my father, L'chora, he took the Chumas Maaser. He knew the measurement, he measured out, took a tenth of that, and gave that to the Kohen already. So now when the Levi receives a Maaser from me, there's no concern of Chumas Maaser. He doesn't have to separate Chumas Maaser. So we're going to ask the question we've all been bothering about, I think. Does the farmer, the Yisrael, do I have the right to take Chumas Maaser? The way it's supposed to be is, I give a Maaser to the Levi, and the Levi separates the Chumas Maaser to give to the Kohen. In this scenario that was just presented by Rav Ashi, it's where I, the Yisrael, I separate Maaser, and then from the Maaser, I separate Chumas Maaser to give to the Kohen. The Levi is supposed to do Chumas Maaser, not the Baal HaBayis. So the Gemara says, yes. Abba Elazar ben Agamla, he holds that the Tanya, Abba Elazar ben Gamla, Omer v'nechshav lachem chumaschem. You're supposed to calculate chumaschem. What chumaschem? It sounds like, says the Gemara on the top of Laman Aleph, Laman Aleph now. B'shtei chumos akasim medaber. Chumaschem sounds like two chumos. Sa'acha shuma gedola, which is the regular chuma that you give to the Kohen, 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th. And achas chumas meiser, and one is a chumas meiser, the chuma you take from the meiser region that goes to the Levi. Kishem shechuma gedola nitleis be'omer u'machshava. Just like the regular chuma is taken be'omer, which Rashi says be'omer is echad be'chamishim she'amu chachamim mafish be'omer in 1/50th. Dim ta ein kan isem demedaisa chita achas poter sakri. You don't have to be exact. You estimate exactly. It looks like this amount. I'll take a 1/50th. You don't have to be so exact because medaraisa, it's enough to have just one chita. It's poter a large pile of wheat. So there's no set shear. And so to b'machshava, you're able to just think about it. You don't have to actually separate it. But if I look at one side, that will be chuma. That's good enough. So too, when it comes to akach chumas meiser, nidleis b'omer, I don't have to count up my grapes. I could just estimate. And also b'machshava, by me looking, that works as well.
Which meiser?
Chumas meiser.
Chumas meiser.
But chuma meiser. And regular meiser, you have to mafrish. There's a set amount for chumas meiser.
Exact, huh?
Right. Chumas Maaser also, even though there is a set amount, still there's a, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Afa pi sheshiura katsa min haTorah, Maaser min haMaaser. Even though this one does have a set amount, there's a special kula, nitleis b'omer, you can estimate it. But Maaser, right, has to be very, very exact. So when it comes to Maaser Ksafim, those who are makbid Maaser Ksafim, it's a minug, it's a deraisa, they're but a big machlokas, what the level of requirement there is for it. The person really wants to do it, you have to really get exactly, figure out how much a person makes, and then what the a tenth of that is, as opposed to estimating if you want to take it seriously. If you assume, which we normally do assume, like the Bach, that's only a minhag ba'alma, you don't have to be so exact. But to really get the din of Meiser Ksafen, it also has to be very, very exact. But Chumas Meiser, there's a special heter, since it's a level of Chuma, you could estimate. That would be enough. Okay, so now continuing, and the reason why we brought this was because Ukishem Sheyeshlo Rishus, the Baal HaBayis Litrom Chuma Gedola, just like the Baal HaBayis has the Rishus, not only does he have the Rishus, but he's supposed to. The Baal HaBayis, the farmer, is the one who's supposed to separate the Chuma Gedola, the 150th, to give to the Kohen. Kach Yeshlo Rishus, he has the option, though he doesn't have to, but he has the option, Lebaal HaBayis Litrom Chumas Meiser. He could also do Chumas Meiser. So yes, that's what we're talking about here, where the Ben Levi, Ben Yisrael rather, my father had taken Chumas Meiser, if I knew the set amount that was a kor. So then we could assume that the father took Chumas Meiser. And that's, again, the Das Yachid here of Rebbe Elazar ben Gamla. I'm not sure if he passed him this way, but looking at the notation, looks like the Rambam does pass him like him, that he does allow the Baal HaBayis to separate it. Okay, let's begin the new mission now on Lamed Aleph. The mission says, HaMiniach Peros Lios Mafrish Aleim Chuma U'Maifros HaMiniach Peros Lios Mafrish Aleim Chuma U'Maisos or Molos Lios Mafrish Aleim Maisos Sheini Mafrish Aleim Bechezka Sheini Kayamim. So let's say I leave over fruit and I have the das to use those fruit to become my Chuma and become my Maiser. And I go somewhere else, I have other fruit, I'm able to say that fruit that's in my house is going to be the Chuma of the Meiser, and we could assume that's still Kayim. We don't assume it got lost or got destroyed. So too, if I have money in my house and I have Meiser Sheni, and I want to eat the fruit now, but the fruit's Meiser Sheni, I need to be poed with Meiser Sheni onto money. So if I left the money in my house, I could assume the money's still around, and I could just be mafresh without having to check the money's still there. So the Mishnah says, Im avdu, if, let's say, I go back and turns out I lost it, I can't find the money, I can't find the fruit, so then the halacha is I raise a choshesh me'es la'es divrei Rabbi Elazar. I have to be choshesh for a period of 24 hours that it may have been lost. So Gemara is going to explain what that means me'es la'es. How do you calculate that? Is that me'es la'es from the moment that I realized it was lost, or me'es la'es from the last time I had checked? So Gemara is going to discuss what that means, but that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shlosha prakim botkin sayayin. He says that the three times when a person is supposed to check wine. Bekidim shemotzei echag. Bekidim is referring to, Rashi explained, the eastern wind that comes right after Sukkot is over. That's the first time you're supposed to check whether the wine fermented or not, that went bad, turned into vinegar. Because the chometz and yayin are considered two different products. You can't take one from the next. You have to check then. And the second time you check the wine is behotzas madar. That's when the flowers begin to grow on the grapevines. And then the third time is b'shas k'nisas ma'im b'bosar, when the bosar, Gemara and Brachos explained, that's when the grapes begin to grow a little bit, when it gets a little bit moist, that's the third time you check the wine to make sure that it doesn't go bad. Okay, so the Gemara says, now my eis leis, what does it mean eis leis? If I, again, I had fruit, I left over fruit in my house, and I went elsewhere, and I was mafrish of the chumas meisers, I was making the fruit left in my house as the chumas meiser, I go back 2 weeks later, I find that the fruit's lost and destroyed. So what happens in the interim? What does that mean? So the Gemara says, my eis leis. What does it mean, eis leis? So Rashi just explains what I just said. Let's read, actually, the Gemara first. Eis leis, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, eis leis, shel bedika. 24 hours from the last time I checked. So what does that mean? Rashi explains, eis leis, shel bedika, kishabadkan, let's say I checked them on Thursday, umatan avudam, and they ended up being lost. Choshe shema mi'esmal beis hazas avdo, hazos avdo. So it's possible from 24 hours beforehand it was already lost. So it really got lost on Wednesday. Tuesday, I assume it was still there Tuesday, but Wednesday, 24 hours prior to when I discovered the loss, that's when I could assume it was lost already. Vimason meiser toch meisleis. If I had made meiser during the past 24 hours, peros acherim tzarch lafish aleim misafik. I have to redo the meiser. So let's say again, I had left my house Sunday and I went on a field trip and I got some grapes. I want to eat the grapes in Eretz Yisrael. I said, I need to make chuma meiser. I'm going to eat mafrish, the chuma, grapes in my house will become chuma for these grapes for me to eat them. I return to my house Thursday and their grapes are lost. So if I had taken the chuma from the past 24 hours, Wednesday or Thursday, that chuma wasn't good. I need to retake chuma, a suffix, and meiser on these grapes that I just got in the field.
And that what you just ate was
if I ate, so what I ate was a suffix. Nothing you can do about it anymore. It's a suffix whether I violated an aveir or not. Perhaps one could suggest it's ones. So there's no violation l'chora of what took place. But if you have any fruit left over, then you have to mafrish to allow you to eat those fruit moving forward.
It also says that you separated on Erev Shabbos and Yontif, in which case we permitted Lomina Mukaf.
That explains that. I was wondering that case. Okay. Uh-huh. Very good. So that's all according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar ben Antignos Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yanai. What does Meis Leis mean according to him? Meis Leis means Shel Hanacha, from the time you put it down. So let's say I left Sunday to go on my field trip, and I come back Thursday and find that's lost. So only the first 24 hours, Sunday to Monday, is it permitted. If I took Chuma Meiser on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then that won't be good. So this is a more of a chumra here. We only allow 24 hours from when I last saw it, as opposed to the first opinion was 24 hours from the time I found it, which is much more lenient. So Gemara brings a raya tanan. The Mishnah says, our Mishnah, im avdo hareze choshesh meis leis. If they're lost, I'm concerned from 24 hours to from one time to the next time. So Bishma, this all makes sense. Leman damar meis leis shel bedika shapir. Leman damar meis leis shel hanacha hai meis leis ad meis leis mi bar leis. It should be, I have until 24 hours, not from 24 hours. That's the issue here. And the Gemara ends up in the kasha. You're right, the Mishnah seems not so precise for the second opinion here. Okay. Gemara now says, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer felt that you only have 24 hours to, if you found it lost, then you only have 24 hours, we assume a certain way, Machlokas, which way you assume the 24 hours, but he assumed 24 hours is the limit. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Chalukin Alav Chaverov Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says that his Chaverim argue on Rabbi Elazar. The Mishnah tells us, a Mishnah that appears a number of times in Shas, it says, Mikvah shenimdad v'nimtza chaser. If you have a mikvah and you measure it out and it turns out it's missing less than 40 saw, kol taros shenasu agabav, any taros that were cleaned through the mikvah, l'mafreya bein b'rishis yachid, bein b'rishis rabim, are going to be tmeos. Whether or not this mikvah is found in b'rishis yachid or b'rishis rabim, what's the relevance of that? There's a discussion, we must have discussed this in the past. Yes, in Sota we discussed this. There's a suffix that appears in Rishis Rabbim, we are going to be Mekil, and the suffix that appears in Rishis Yochid, we're going to be Machmer and Seitamer. So with regards to the mikvah, we're not concerned. We don't care where the mikvah is located, whether it's a public domain or a private domain, we're going to be Machmer across the board. And the reason is, Rashi explains, because this is worse than a regular suffix, because we're going to be mehemid al cheskasa, that this object that went to the mikvah, or this person that went to the mikvah, the chazaka that was tame. So to remove that tumah, you require a much more serious process of tara, and suffix won't remove the chazaka cheskas tumah. But either way, what comes out of here, though, this Mishnah tells us that if there's a suffix of whether the mikvah is good or not good, we go back to Mafreya. There's no 24-hour limit. We say all the way back to whenever the last time it was checked, all those taros are now going to be tameh. As opposed to the Rebbe Elazar, only goes back 24 hours. So the Gemara says, Pshita de Chalukin. It's very obvious that they argue. What's the Chiddush here? I know the Mishnah Mikvahs. I know the Mishnah and Gittin. I know they're very, very different. What's Rebbe Elazar adding by pointing out that they are arguing? Gemara says, Mal the same, Amai le Mafreya, Meis Leis. No, you could have interpreted the Mishnah in Mikvahs when it says that we go retroactively to say all the Taros are Tameh, that might be retroactively only 24 hours. So Kamash Blan, from this Chiddush, he says, to make it very clear, they're not saying 24 hours. Le Mafreya means it goes far back, it could go years back to the last time that it was checked, all those Taros are going to be Tameh. Now the Gemara quotes from the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Begimel Prachim, that there are three times it's throughout the season that a person should check that the wine didn't go bad. Tana b'kidim shemotzei yachag shatkufa. So one of the first times it has to be checked is when the eastern wind blows after Sukkot is over. So he says the Baruch Shem qualifies of the tkufa. What does it mean of the tkufa? Shirashi explains here, shatkufa, around 20 narrow lines down, shatkufa, in kvar nichnasa tkufas tishrei, if tishrei already has begun, sometimes Sukkot is very early. So if Sukkot is early and it might still be in the season of Tammuz, then this cloud wouldn't work. It would be worthless to check after the eastern wind blows after Sukkot if it's still in Tekufas Tammuz. There's only a time to check when Sukkot appears in the Tekufa of Tishrei. of sukkahs earlier, then this cloud wouldn't affect it. You probably have to wait until the first Easter wind blows sometime during Tishrei, or sometime during the Tkufas Tishrei. The Gemara now says, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Vishlosha Prakam, Mochen Esatvua. So now we're talking about something different, very, very different, but it's still three different times, and that's why we bring the Brice here. Three prakim where we sell tefua. When do you sell grains? Lefnei azera, before you grow it. Ubeshas azera, when you're planting it. Ubeprosa pesach, pros is, the Mishnah Bechoros tells us it means chatzi, half. It's like a part of a bread. The prosa pesach means, 15 days prior to Pesach. So that's the three times you're supposed to sell grain. I don't know why. Gemara will explain in just a second why that is. And then the Braisa says, "Ubishlosha prakim mochen es hayayin." Three times that you sell wine. Beprosa Pesach, before Pesach, beprosa Tzeres, beprosa Chag, right before each of the different Yom Tovim. And then when it comes to Shemen, then the halacha is Shemen Matzeres Veilech. From Shavuos and on is the ideal time to sell oil. So it sounds like they're just giving good advice when it's a good market to sell. Now, wine, I'm assuming during the Shlosh Regalim is when people want wine, so that's when it's a very good market, there's a high demand, that's the ideal time to sell. So the Gemara says, L'mai Hilch. So what's it telling us? It's giving us good advice, how to be a good businessman. There must be some nafkamina. So the Gemara says, the nafkamina is, Amar Rav Avisem Rav Papa, the Shutvin, when it comes to Shutvin partners. So what does it mean when it comes to partners? So Rashi explains, L'shutvin, she'ein ha'echad yach limchor shlo ben das chaveir chutz l'prakum halalum. I can just sell the produce without your consent, unless it's during these three times where everyone would be in agreement, these are opportune times to sell, ideal times to sell, then I don't have to discuss with my partner. But any other time that I'd like to sell, and I would have to consult with my partner before selling. Then the Gemara says, Mikam ve'elach, after these points, after these manim hit, after all these three stages hit, then they say, my what's halacha? Amrava kol yomar pirkehu. Each day is considered this man limchor. Because then I guess eventually the wine's going to go bad. So once I hit the third time of that season, every day I could sell without having to consult with my partner. Okay, the Gemara now gets into some agarata. Since we were discussing before about the eastern wind. The eastern wind is after Sukkot is the time that you first check the wine. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yonah, "Vayhi kizrach haShemesh." It was when the sun was rising. Vayiman elkim rach kadim harishis, and the Hashem had sent a eastern wind, a harishis. So what does that mean? My harishis. Amar Yehuda b'shashim min haShemesh osa tlamim tlamim b'yam. The moment that this eastern wind blows, it makes burrows, like when you have burrows in the ground when you're plowing the field. So it makes those types of shapes, those lines in the of waves in the water as well. That's what charishis means. Lashon of charish. So I'm like, Rabbi says, Ihachi, that's the case. It's talking about the strength of the wind that makes all these waves in the wind. Hayinu dechsev, that's the second part of the pasuk that says, V'tach ha-shemesh al-rosh yonah v'isalef, and the sun hit hard along with the wind and made him very exhausted. So why is it saying two different times in the pasukim describing the strength of the wind? One describing how it is able to move the wind, the waves, and one says how it really tired him out. That seems to be superfluous. So the Gemara says, "Ella Amaraba, you know what it means? Charishis b'shashim nasheves mishatekes kol haruachos mipaneh. When the eastern wind blows, it quiets. Lashon of a cherish, someone who's a deaf. It quiets. It deafens all the other winds in the sky. V'hainu dechsev. That's what the pasuk means when it says in Iov asher begadecha chamin that your clothing is hot. Bashket eretz midarom." In that it quieted the southern land, and apparently the southern wind makes things cold. But when the eastern wind is so powerful, it knocks out the southern wind, and the heat is overwhelming the cold. Amr b'tachlifa barav chista, amr b'chista, aim asai b'gadecha chamin. When is it true, explain what we just said, when is it true that the clothing gets hot? B'shah shehishket eretz midarom, when the south is quiet, shebashah shimun hasheves, the moment it blows, mishatek es kal ruchos mipaneh. When the eastern wind blows, it quiets all the other ones, including the southern one, which is the coldest of the winds. Rav Huna, Rav Chista, have a yasrei. One time, Rav Huna, Rav Chista were sitting down. Chalef vaza gniva alayu. Gniva was passing by. Gniva comes up a couple of times in Gittin. They were not very fond of him. And Amr Chal Chavri, the Rashi explains why not. We'll see in a second. Amr Chal Chavri, one says, Nikam Mekame Debarayinhu. You should stand up for Geneva because he's a Tamil Chacham. So Amr Le Idach, the other one said back, Dim Mekame Palga Nekam. We should stand up for such a person who's a Palga. What's a Palga? So Rashi explains that Pagah is Baal Meriva. He gets into fights. Shahai Salo Meriva in Marukva Shaya Abezin. He fought with Abezin in Marukva. Kedamrinu Perkama. B'nei Adam Ha'omnim Alai B'yadi Lamotzen Lamalchus V'huaya Gniyuknim Farshasim. The Gemara was talking about he had this correspondence Marukva back and forth. What should you do with the guy who's trying to bring me over to the authority? So he said you should kill him. You should daven and kill him. So that person who was trying to be Moser him to Malchus was referring to Gniva. So he's not a good guy, even though he's a Tanu Chacham. Adahachi, while they're discussing what to do, he finally approached them. And Amar Lahu, Gniva said to them, "B'mai asiksa, askisa, what are you guys talking about? What are you learning?" Amar Lahu, they said, "Baruchas, we're talking about winds." Amar Lahu, so he says, "Hachi Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav," he quotes a statement in the name of Rav, "Ar Baruchas Menashos b'chol yom," there are four winds that blow each and every day. "Ruach Tzfonis Menashefas Aim Kulam," and each wind is accompanied by the northern wind. "Shumala Kain," had the northern wind not been there, "Ein Ha'olam Miskayim," the world couldn't remain. "Afilu Shachas," even for a moment. And "Ruach Hadromis," the southern one, is Kashim Mikulon, is the strongest of them all. "Vilmali Ben Natz Mamida Mechareves Kol Ha'olam Kulam." Had the Nates, which is a type of bird, not stopped it, slowed down the wind, then that southern wind would have destroyed the world. Shinamar, as the Pasuk says, Pasuk that's found in Eov as well, "Hemi Binascha Yaver Nates Yifros Knafav Leseiman," that this Nate spreads its wings to the south to weaken and soften the wind. Okay, some deep things about winds. Rava, Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak, Hava Yasva, at one time these two individuals were sitting, these two Gedolim were sitting, Hava Chalaf Vazir, Rav Nachman, Bar Yaakov, a different Rav Nachman, namely Rav Nachman, Bar Yaakov, was passing by. The Yasva, Begoharka, Dedahava, was sitting in a golden wagon, Uparsaleh Sarvala, the Karsi, was covered, adorned with some type of cloth, and they were not able to know who was inside. So Rava Azul Lagave, Rava went over to the individual, and Rav Nachman Beitzach Lo Azul Lagave, he didn't go over, they didn't know who it was yet, he didn't go over to the individual. So Amar Dilma Mianchi Dibay Reish Kalusa Ninu. So he said, perhaps the individual is a member of the house of Reish Kalusa. And Rava Tzarchlu, Rava needs him, but Rav Nachman didn't need this, didn't need the Reish Kalusa. The reason being, because he himself was the son-in-law of the Reish Kalusa. He doesn't need to be, to kiss up to the family of the Reish Kalusa. He was the Reish Kalusa's family. So he didn't go over, he didn't need to. So what happened was, Kedechazi, the Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, when they had opened up the cover and they saw Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov was sitting inside, Hava Azil Lagave, then Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was willing to go over to Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov. I don't know the relationship between the two of them, I don't know who he was, but apparently he was a chashim individual that even Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the son-in-law of the Reish Kalusa, felt the need to go over and to welcome him. So he goes over to him. And Gali Lidare, Rashi says, means Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov Lidare, Shaisa Ruach Mizrechas Minasheves V'hochim Lo. I don't know, his hand was open, revealed, exposed. It seemed like it got very hot somehow. His hand got very, very hot. So Amrei Shadya Nashiv. So the, I think the wagon, he was shaking. I don't know exactly the Metzias what happened, but somehow something happened to his hand from the wagon, I think. So Amar Rav says, Hachi Amar Rav. Rav says, Isha Mapelas Bo. From the strength of the wind, made for the wind, the movement, that the woman could have a miscarriage from the strength of the wind. Shmuel Amar Afil Margalias Shabiyam Mar Keves Bo. Even a gem in the water, a pearl, can corrode from this wind. Even though pearls are not meant to corrode, they last forever, I think. It could corrode from the wind. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Shechazer B'Shemei Isha B'Serechas. But even Shechazer in a woman's womb can be destroyed from this wind, even though it's protected. Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he adds, U'Shloshan Mikra Echadarshu, all three of them learn from the very same Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Hosea, Ki hu rather Bein Achim, it's between the brothers, Yafri, Yavo Kadim Ruach Hashem, Mi Midbar, Ola, So this eastern wind that came from the Midbar, so what does it mean? It dries the Makor, Zu Makor Shal Isha. It could cause a miscarriage. Yechra, may I know, the Pasuk says, it destroys the Mayan, the Zeh Shechazara, Bishop Mei Isha. Who Yishya Otzer, Kol Klechemda, that Zoom Margal Shabian, that refers to the gem, a pearl that's in the water. So they all learn different ideas, but they're all in agreement, seemingly, because the psukim indicate three different results of the wind. Amar Rava says, Ede Sarahu, the Daikakra. Rashi says, the last line, Eda Surahu, Hadavar Hazeh Mibnei Surahu, the Daiki Krab. This thing must come from the people of Surah, who were very medactic, apparently, in Psukim. Okay? Fine? So then the Gemara says, "My was meaning this very pasuk in Hoshea that says, Ki hu bein achim yafri. What does that pasuk mean? So Amar Rava, Rava says, Achilu shufsa bikofina vimara rafia. So what does that mean? Rashi says, shufsa is a base yad, the handle. In the kufna, which is a chor, shibarosh hamara shakor in poshar, valshem shadachuk bein shnei tzide achor karle bein achim shemidubakin. I don't know exactly the Matthias, we don't have Harry here. But apparently it's some type of, I don't know, a shovel of the handle that has a hole. So even that handle can become rafia, can become weak, even though they're very, very strong, that can become weak from this wind. I think that's what it's referring to. Yeah. If Yosef Amar, he says that the way you interpret the pasuk is, afilu siksa bidafna rafia. Even if there's a six, Rashi is a yosed b'shebedofen, if let's say there's a peg that's in the wall, very, very strong, nailed or screwed in, that can become weak from the heat of the eastern wind. And finally, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, afilu kanya b'kufsa rafia. If there is a basket that's woven together, that could also become weak from this heat of the wind. Hadron lach kol again. Okay, we did a lot today.